But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Anybody know that the word has validity? That anything you need is in the word.
Welcome to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. For the next 30 minutes, get ready for some dynamic teaching, preaching, and insight on the word of God that will guide you to your destiny as a believer. At the end of the broadcast, information will be given about their church location and how to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety. Now let's join the Excellence in Ministry broadcast, already in progress.
Profoundly aware than ever before that prayer is a necessity to the life of a believer. It is absolutely essential to the life of a believer that you pray. Now you would think that prayer would be the first resort of a believer, but you and I both know that is not necessarily the case. Because the truth of the matter is that we don't pray as often as we should. Our prayer life, and I'm talking about me as well, is not what it ought to be. You would think that would be the case, that the first thing you would do before you make any decision, before you make any step, is that you pray.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
But that is not so. I'm here to tell you that you could not even begin to imagine what you and I are missing simply because we don't pray. What you're missing out on because you don't pray, what you're missing out on because you don't take time to have a little talk with Jesus.
Come on.
Now, I'm not talking about those little childish, automatic, mechanical prayers that some of us used to pray. When we were little children, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep if I die before I wake. I pray the Lord my soul to take. If you still praying that prayer at 35, don't you go to sleep. If you still at 55 sitting at the table talking about God is great, God is good, now I think. You pay attention. But I'm talking about real prayer. Not so much any fancy words and these and thou, but I'm talking about when you have the opportunity just to lay before the Lord. And pour your heart out to him. To converse with God, to tell him what's on your mind, what's on your heart, what's going on in your life when you are just coming before his presence. I'm talking about when those who have an absolute desire to seek the presence and the face and power of God for every aspect of your life. Not just seeking the Lord so we can ask him for what we want.
Come on, come on.
But that we learn how to seek God to find out what he wants. Because so often, too often, we tell God what we want with God, but rather what God wants is that he wants us to seek him to find out what he wants for us and he wants with us. And the only way that can be determined is when you come before him in prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Prayer keeps us in touch with God. Because through prayer, we have the opportunity to leave the mundane, the hustle and bustle of life and steal away in order to ascend into the mount of God so that we may enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into its courts with praise and lay before him even prostrate at his feet. Lord have mercy. Sometimes when life gets overwhelming, it's enough to get on your knees, but sometimes you need to lay before the Lord. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And let him know that I am weak.
Come on.
And I need thy strength and power to help me over my weakest hour. Let me through the darkness thy face to see. Lead me, O Lord.
Preach.
Lead me and guide me along the way. For if you lead me, I shall not stray. Lord, let me walk
Come on, preacher.
Each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord. Lead me. Because you must understand something, that you need his guidance in your life. And I want you to know something that you already know. But let me remind you. There is not a time that God is not with us. God is omnipresent. That means God is here, there, and everywhere at the same time. But while it is true that there's not a time that God is not with us, there are times that we are not with God. Because we're so busy. We're too busy with our lives. We're too busy with our agendas. We're too busy with our schedules that we can't fit God in.
Wow.
But when we pray, God has our undivided attention. And let me tell you something. Not only does God have our undivided attention when we pray, we have God's undivided attention when we pray. Because even though I'm praying to him and you're praying to him, he hears you when you pray. Anybody glad about that besides me? And he hears me when I pray. And that's what it is. He wants us to call on him and not allow ourselves to be so busy and so distracted by life that we fail to hear the beckoning call of God. That means we got to not only take time for prayer. Y'all still here? We need to make time for prayer.
Just preach.
Why? I'm glad you asked. For you can't know your purpose without seeking God's presence. Because only through prayer can you know what God wants with you.
Preach, preach.
Can you know what God made you for?
Preach.
And can you know what God wants to do with you? And every time you face issues and moments in your life, we don't have a hard time talking to anybody. We want to say everybody about our problems, everybody but God. So I've come by here to say that it should not be your last resort. It should be your first resort. Before you talk to your mama, talk to God. Before you talk to your daddy, talk to God. Before you talk to your cousin and them, talk to God. Before you talk to your boo, talk to God. What a friend we have in Jesus.
You better preach.
Thank God. We must take time to talk to him, because we will discover something that you all so know. Y'all ready for this one? This is deep. This is deep. Hold on to your seats. Prayer changes things. That's what I want to tell you. That's what I want to tell you. That's what. Is there a witness in this place that prayer changes things? Yeah, yes, it does. Prayer, he changes things.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, the greatest example of prayer changing things is when you look at the life of Jabez.
Yes.
The church say Jabez.
Jabez.
Jabez. You look at the life of Jabez, and you know about this man, Jabez. Some of us remember the prayer of Jabez, because back in the year 2000, there was a gentleman named Bruce Wilkinson who wrote this little book called The Prayer of Jabez. Y'all remember that? And this particular book swept the world. And everybody was talking about this little book. It was sold in stores everywhere, even in grocery stores. You can find this little book. And it became so popular that people were buying mugs and t-shirts and keychains with the prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. I want you to understand that when you read 1 Chronicles, and as you read it, you will find out 1 Chronicles, there's nothing too exciting in 1 Chronicles. In fact, it's confusing and can be frustrating, and you can get tongue-tied reading 1 Chronicles. Because when you read it, as you heard and read along with Sister Crowder, you begin to see all of these names. And all of these names, and there's nothing said about them except that they lived and they died. And this one begat that one, and that one begat the other, and that one begat the other. And you want to know sometimes, what does this have to do with rice being white? And as you read all of those names, and I know y'all were praying for LaDosha, and I was praying for it too, and I was saying, read LaDosha, read that name. Read it. She read those names. But it's like the writer of 1 Chronicles, that as he was going through recanting the chronological historical record of Israel's tribes, that as he lists all these names and just said who they begat and who they married, it seems that when you got to verse number 9, he said, wait a minute, let me tell you about this fella Jabez. Because you would notice that he says nothing about any of the others, but for Jabez, it says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil. He had to talk about Jabez. Look at him. the etymological derivation of the name. Y'all still here? That the name Jabez means, listen, pain. The church say pain.
Pain.
That when the mother of Jabez brought him forth, and when the midwife or the doctor looked at her to say, "What shall his name be?" She says, "His name shall be pain." Jabez, it means pain. And we don't know. There was something apparently about the circumstances of his birth, or the circumstances of his conception, or his birth, that caused her to say that his name shall be pain. What should have been one of the happiest days of her life after carrying him, after 9 months, when she names him pain.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7 listeners, get ready for A Minute with the Doctor.
Praise the Lord. This is Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 states, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." During this time of Thanksgiving, we tend to thank God for some things, while the scripture reminds us to thank God for everything, not just the good, but also the bad, not just the sunshine, but also the rain. It is through even the rough and difficult times that we learn and we grow to become all that God wants us to be, and trust Him that He knows exactly what to do with us. Remember, every day is a day of Thanksgiving. You are invited to join us at Little Rock AME Zion Church for our Sunday morning worship experience at 10 a.m. For more details, call 704-334-3782 or visit our website at littlerockamezion.org.
It seems that she's almost setting him up for failure. His name shall be pain. Every time someone looks at him, they say, "Here comes that pain." The children would come knock on the door and say, "Can pain come out to play today?" He would go to school, and the teacher would call the roll. She'd say, "Johnny, Jamal, Billy, Bobby, pain." But the Bible reports that pain, or Jabez, was more honorable than his brothers. Even though his name was Pain, he called on the God of Israel. And that makes all of the difference in the world. So I'm here to say that Jabez teaches us that it does not matter where you came from. It does not matter the circumstances of your birth. It does not matter how dark the situation. If you call on the God of Israel, no matter what your start is, your finish will be victorious. Even though his name is Pain, God fixed it so his legacy of his prayer would bless the entire world. Because all across the world, Christians and non-Christians alike picked up this little book and they declare it made a significant difference in their life. And I used to wonder about that, as people would always pick up this book, the prayer of Jabez, and they would pray the prayer of Jabez. What would disturb me about it is people began to pray that prayer as if it was some kind of magical incantation. They would pray that prayer as if they had some kind of magical properties, as if they were saying abracadabra or hocus pocus. But when you pray this prayer, you can't just pray the prayer because of what it says. You got to, first of all, have a relationship with God.
Uh-huh. Come on. Yes. Come on.
In other words, you got to know Him. Uh-huh. And you called on the God of Israel. And what I love about this prayer, and as we look at it, what you are praying in this prayer is that you're asking God for increase. Let the church say increase.
Increase.
Increase. Increase. You hear that word a lot. Increase. Everybody wants an increase. But let me tell you about this prayer of Jabez. First thing I notice about it, it says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Bless me indeed." And what he seems to say is, in the first instance, is that you got to understand, Jabez understood that when you pray, you got to expect God's blessings.
I know it's not too deep, but that's what I, Amen. Only thing I got to tell you. Uh-huh. That when you pray, uh-huh. when you pray to expect God's blessings. Let the church say, expect God's blessings.
Expect God.
You got to pray to, when you pray expecting God's blessings. Because you see here that Jabez had the audacity that although he had humble beginnings, and although he had an obscure identity, that Jabez had the boldness to say, oh, that you would bless me indeed. How revolutionary is this prayer? Because all this time we have been thinking that the last thing or the last person you should pray for is yourself. You would think that your prayer should not be self-centered. You should not pray for yourself. You should pray for everybody else but you. You should pray for the people in the nursing home. You can pray for the people in the hospital. You should pray for the people in the prison. You should pray for the children in Rwanda. You should pray for everybody but yourself. But Jabez helps us understand something, that when he prayed, he said, Lord, bless me indeed. Not just a little, but he was saying, Lord, bless me so enough. I didn't say you are preventing God from being God. You can't stop God from being God. God's going to be God. But what you're doing is that when you fail to ask God to bless you, you are failing to allow God to be God in your life. And it would be a shame to go throughout your whole life and never receive only but a third of what God has to give you, simply because you did not ask for it. Because that's what God does. That's his nature. It's God's nature to give. It's God's nature to provide for you. It's his nature to protect you. It's his nature to bless you. And when you don't ask for those blessings, what you're doing is you are limiting what God wants to give you, and you are limiting what God can do through you. Are y'all hearing me today? You got to expect a blessing.
Yes, sir.
And understand, you got to expect a blessing. Why? Because in order to be a blessing, you got to be blessed. Is that simple enough for you? If you want to be a blessing, you got to first be blessed. And you can't be blessed unless you call on the one who has all the blessings in his hands. How can you be a blessing if you're not blessed? I don't know about you, but I expect a blessing from God. Because in the world, how can you give what you don't have? And how can you tell what you don't know? And how can you lead where you're not willing to go? You got to expect God's blessing so you can expand God's boundaries. You know why? Someone say why. Because Satan is busy. I know you didn't know that. I know you didn't come all the way over here to Little Rock Church for me to tell you that, because you know that he is busy. He is disrespectful. He is roaming the earth to and fro, seeking whom he might devour. Oh, he's wreaking havoc. He's going anywhere he wants to go. He is taking control of schools. He's roaming neighborhoods. He's walking all up and down in your house. He's all up in your bedroom, all in your cabinets. He is disrespectful. He don't even mind coming up in the church. He walks up and down the aisles, all through the pews. He does not have any respect for God's territory. But we're saying, expand your boundaries, God. He don't have the right to do what he's doing. He doesn't have the right to go where he is going. But because we have not taken authority, we allow him to run roughshod all over this place. But we're saying, God, we want to expand your boundaries. And because Satan does not have any business up in here, because the last time I checked, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God, I know you have given me allotment, but I want you to give me more. Anybody want more from God? Expand my territory. Enlarge my territory. I want more.
Yes, sir.
I know you've given me my allotment, but it's not enough, God. I want more, not because I want the biggest title. I want more, not because I want the biggest church. I want more, not because I want the biggest house. I want more, not because I want the biggest bank account. I don't want more for me. I want more so I can do more for you. Satan is running roughshod in the world. And what we're saying is, everything that belongs to you, we're claiming it in the name of Jesus. We're tired of him controlling our neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of Satan controlling our neighborhood. I'm sick and tired of drug dealers standing on every corner. I'm sick and tired of prostitutes selling their bodies. I want to do more for you. I want to claim it all for you, God. From the north, the south, the east, and the west. For you, I want to do more. I want to do more ministry. I want to save more souls. I want to sing more songs. I want to reach more families. I want to mentor more youth. I want to coach more teams. I want to feed more people. I want to clothe more children. I want more, so I need more. Not for me, but for your glory, Lord. That's why I want it. Even as we talk about this expansion that we're doing here at Little Rock, it's not for us.
Preach it. Mm-hmm. Preach it.
That's right.
This ministry needs more space.
Yes. Preach.
And if we got more space, we can do more things.
Right. Go ahead and work.
We can reach more people.
That's right. Preach. That's right.
And we can tear Satan's kingdom down. Anybody want to tear it down?
Yes, sir.
We want to expand the kingdom of God. We want to expand so we can do more for his glory. We want to expand the boundaries of this church. We want to expand the boundaries of our family from the mountain to the valley. We want to expand from the rivers to the ocean. We want to expand from the sky to the sea. We want to expand until every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Anybody want to expand God's boundaries? I want more so I can do more, so we can save more people, we can heal more souls. It's not about you.
That's right.
It's about God.
Yeah.
And we want to do it for his glory.
Amen.
Increase. You got to expect God's blessings so we can expand God's boundaries. And listen, he goes on to say that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for tuning in to the Excellence in Ministry broadcast with Dr. Dwayne Anthony Walker, Senior Pastor of Little Rock AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and seeking a church home, please feel free to come by our location, 401 North McDowell Street, just minutes from Uptown Charlotte. Our order of services are as follows: 9 a.m. Sunday School, 10 a.m. Morning Service, 12 noon Wednesday Midday Bible Study, and 7 p.m. Evening Bible Study. If you want to know more about what's going on at Little Rock, you can visit us on the web at littlerockamezion.org. Also, if you were blessed by today's message and want to obtain a copy in its entirety, call 704-334-3782. That's 704-334-3782. Little Rock AME Zion Church is a ministry with so much to offer. They have ministries for adults and children, choirs, missions, and outreach that helps inside the church and the community as a whole. And of course, this radio broadcast where God is glorified.